Hello and welcome to CICK News. CICK News is your local and regional news coverage provided by me, Pamela Hassan, and Dan Messick for Smithers Community Radio. This news program is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada, and our aim is to provide local coverage on stories that affect the lives of Northerners like you. After months of waiting to hear from the board members of Canfor, the people of Houston have been told to keep waiting. On Thursday, July 27th, the 12 board members of Canfor met to discuss rebuilding the Houston sawmill or curtailing the operations completely. The company reported an operating loss of $66.7 million for the second quarter of 2023, and these pricing factors were coupled with higher North American production and shipment volumes in the current period despite the ongoing market-related temporary downtime and sawmill closures across BC, including the Houston sawmill, which employed directly nearly 10% of the town and indirectly 17% of the town's population. The mill shut down in April of this year, and with that, many townspeople of Houston are in a state of uncertainty of the future of their jobs and livelihood in Houston. While the Canfor decision, which was supposed to be reached at the July 27th meeting, was not the final death knell of the mill, being told to wait has raised anxiety of many living in Houston. Today, I'm speaking with the mayor of Houston, who also worked at the mill, Shane Breenan, about the reflections of his community members sitting in limbo. I'm also speaking to Michelle Ward, a communications official for Canfor, who spoke with me about the company's current position.
My name is Michelle Ward, and I'm the Vice President of Corporate Communications for Canfor.
Okay, thanks for speaking with me, Michelle. So can you tell me, what are the benefits of building a new sawmill in Houston?
Thanks for that question. And Houston is a community that we're actually very, very passionate about. It's not a fluke that Houston is where we're considering building a new facility. Maybe just to give you a little bit of background and context, our Houston facility is one of our larger facilities. It was scaled up during the mountain pine beetle epidemic to be able to process the beetle infested timber. And as we moved through the pine beetle epidemic, we now have a smaller fiber base, and we know that going forward, and we really want to be able to have a facility in Houston that is aligned with the long-term fiber supply. And we think that Houston is an area, quite frankly, in the province that makes sense to make this investment.
We'll speak in a moment about just even the harvest supply, but are there any drawbacks to building a new plant in Houston?
Well, and as you know, we announced last week that we need a little more time before we're going to be able to make a final decision regarding the investment in Houston. And it comes back to the conversations that we are having with government about the long-term fiber supply. We have done a lot of our own internal analysis. We have our technical people have worked with the Ministry of Forests technical people to evaluate the fiber supply. We believe that there's alignment in terms of the, you know, what the fiber supply looks like in the long run. But we do need to have some more conversations with government in terms of that analysis and to confirm that we share a similar long-term output for what the fiber supply will be in Houston.
Okay, yeah, and I'm not sure what your analysis looked like, but in my research, according to the Canadian Center for Policy Alternatives and Ministry release from the Ministry of Jobs, Economic Development, and Information, annual harvest has declined by more than 25%. And that was from an April 2022 policy release. And so with that decline in available trees to harvest, especially now that the pine beetle harvest has mostly come to a close, if the Houston mill were to reopen, what type of trees are you looking at harvesting, and what would be the use or would the operations of the harvest change as far as what Houston was used to producing?
Sure. I mean, we would still be harvesting the same species. It's, you know, spruce, pine, fir, that those are the majority of trees that we harvest in British Columbia as a whole. So those products wouldn't change. It's more the potentially the products that we're able to produce. As we look at building a new mill, one of the key things in that facility would be what we call manufacturing flexibility. So that means that we are able to a little more easily adjust to if we're changing species, if we're changing the length or the profile of the lumber that we're producing. We want that flexibility so that we can really match the demands of our customers. And we want to be focused on producing a higher value lumber product out of the facility.
Okay. So on July 27th, Canfor Corporation's, your 12 board members that were responsible for lumber operations had a meeting. And so you've said that basically to come out of that meeting that you needed more time. What were sort of some of the highlights, I guess, that also came out of that meeting, aside from that the timeline needs to be extended for the employees of Houston who are currently just waiting to find out what's happening with their jobs?
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, as you can appreciate, I have to respect the confidentiality of the board meeting. It's not a public meeting. Mm-hmm. But what I can say is that, you know, we are very excited about the opportunity to build a new facility in Houston. And to be able to do that, we need to be sure that we've got the right fiber supply. We're talking about an investment that would be probably north of $200 million. That's a very significant investment. There actually hasn't been a investment of that size in the interior, in the wood products sector, the forestry sector, in, you know, probably at least the last two decades. It might even reach a new all-time high for BC. So it is a very significant investment for the industry. It's a very significant investment for us as a company. And so the focus, as I said, is about ensuring that there's the long-term fiber supply to support an investment of that size. And we also want a fiber supply that's going to ensure that we can run the facility consistently, because that's what's best, we know, for our employees, for our community, for our contractors, so that we can hopefully work to avoid some of the, you know, cyclical ups and downs that we can experience in the industry.
Speaking of that investment, were you ever accessing subsidies through the BC Manufacturing Jobs Fund? There was $90 million in that fund alone, and then $50 million in funding to increase fiber supply. Were you accessing any of those subsidies? Are you looking at accessing?
No, we're not looking at any of those funds that the government is offering. And that's largely has to do with the fact of the softwood lumber trade dispute. I don't want to bore you or your listeners with all of that, but it's best for us as a company, because of the ongoing trade dispute with the US, that we don't look at any of those opportunities directly for Canfor.
Okay. Has this wildfire season informed any future plans for the Houston mill?
I would say it hasn't informed any specific plans in terms of this reinvestment. Are we significantly concerned about the wildfire season? Absolutely. You know, for us, it really reinforces the need for sustainable forest management in the province and in Canada. Obviously, this is, you know, has quickly become the worst wildfire season on record in BC, but also across Canada. And, we share in everyone else's concern that we don't want to continue having summers like this. And so, you know, what are techniques that can be used to try and help avoid massive fires like the ones that we're seeing today? That's something that we're very committed to and do have a lot of conversations with government about that. Mm.
Okay. And I guess my last question is just about the people of Houston. So as you know, managers are people who are living in Houston. And do you feel like that Canfor is giving them the tools to live in the same community as the employees, the current employees out of work, who are currently in a state of uncertainty?
You know, we really feel, I can't express enough how sympathetic we are to the impact that we are having on our employees. We fully recognize this has created extreme uncertainty in the community and for the vast majority of our employees. We have been able to retain a small number of people that are on the office side and a few people working in the yard, along with retaining our full Woodlands staff. But it's a fraction of the people who are usually operating the facility. And so we know that this is really causing a lot of uncertainty for them and for their families. And, you know, we also recognize that people were looking for us and expecting us to be making a decision last week. And the fact that we do need a little bit more time, we know that that is continuing the uncertainty. We are very committed to trying to, you know, keep folks up to speed. And I know we don't always have the answers that people are looking for, but we're at least trying to share the information as we have it, which is why we felt that it was important to provide an update last week, even though we haven't come to the final decision yet.
Mm-hmm. Just following up on the 27th meeting, I guess, especially with communication with people of Houston, are you, you know, is there a ballpark timeline of when a decision will be made and people of Houston can try to plan for that rather than look for a new job right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, we definitely recognize the impact that this is having on families and that people are needing to make the decisions that's right for them and their family. We do completely understand that. In terms of the timeline, we're expecting these conversations that we're having with government to probably wrap up in the coming weeks. And as soon as those conversations are complete, our board is committed to meet and to, you know, review the project to make a decision. So I can't give you a specific date, but I can tell you that we are working to advance this project as quickly as we possibly can.
Okay. Michelle, I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with me. Is there anything that I didn't ask that you think is important for the people of Houston and our listeners to know?
I think just once again, I just want to, you know, emphasize that we really want to see this project happen in Houston. It's an area of redevelopment that we have been looking at on and off for, you know, a number of years. We think this is the opportunity and the time to do it, as long as we have alignment with the fiber supply. So we are very, very genuinely pursuing this opportunity and are looking forward to being able to make a decision and be able to give clarity to the community of Houston.
Okay. Thank you so much for speaking with me today, Michelle.
No problem. Thanks, Pamela.
I'm Shane Breenan. I'm the mayor of Houston for the last 9 years and did 3 terms on town council before that. So in my 3rd term as mayor here in Houston.
Excellent. Now, speaking about Canfor today, because as we both know, their board got together for a meeting last Thursday, and the decision was, I guess, to still kind of sit and wait. But I want to kind of bring some people up to speed now that it's been a number of months that the mill has been shut down to try to get a pulse in the community. So first off, how many people in Houston were hired by Canfor?
I should have an exact number, but I don't. But the mill is probably in that 300 neighborhood with everybody out there.
Okay.
A little bit more.
And you yourself worked there as well?
Yes, I worked out there for 35 years.
Oh, wow. So what was your job at the mill?
I did different jobs through the years. At the end, I was running mobile equipment because it was worked out fairly decent for myself in this job and the mill as well. It was a little bit more flexible than some of the other jobs there.
Mm-hmm. And so were you laid off with the rest of the workers back in April?
Yeah, they ran our sawmill out. The date was around March 31st. The final log went through, and then there was the finishing and planer ran approximately a month more there. And I did, once the announcement came down, I've been pretty busy as mayor. So I did get a few days here and there for approximately another month or so.
Mm-hmm. I guess then kind of, yeah, that you said you've been busier doing mayoral duties. I've got to imagine you have been. I know that this year, property taxes increased by about 4% for Houston residences. And there was also a lot of intense discussion about increasing road maintenance budget for the town. So I guess, do you have any idea on how previous Canfor employees are feeling about affording to live in Houston right now?
Yeah, I can't speak for everyone, of course, and everyone's situation will be a little different depending on who you were. So maybe if you've been in the community longer, you were a little better able to absorb that kind of news and situation. Some people that worked in there maybe had a spouse working in there as well. So it was both incomes. Everyone's situation for sure is a little bit different, and everyone's dealing with their own story. It's not one level across the community. Everyone's experiencing something a little bit different.
Are you getting a lot of feedback from past employees who are just, you know, being told to wait, being in limbo is almost, it's almost sometimes more painful than knowing that something is over. So are you in, as the mayor, are you kind of getting any of that feedback from the workers?
Yeah, I think councillors and mayor are definitely getting feedback. And as I said, it's different from everyone. Some people in the community worked at the mill that went down in 2014. So not that you ever get good at this. Some people have been through the full experience before. For some people, it's brand new. It is absolutely different for almost every person.
Mm-hmm.
From the news of the extension, like looking a little bit longer, that will be taken different ways as well. For myself, and I think council, we do feel that's very positive. It is a step in the right direction. So it's one major hurdle for the community that there is a willingness to reinvest if fiber can be secured. So it is a big step. We're not the answer we wanted to hear last Thursday, of course, but we are moving in that direction. So we have to take it as a positive for the community, even though a lot of people are probably not very happy about it, but it is a step forward.
Is the town of Houston, are there supports for Canfor workers right now, or is there any sort of like, are any facets of your community really trying to focus on the well-being of Canfor employees?
Yeah, there's different things set up, and I don't know if it works for everyone, and probably some people in our staff down at the district are better to answer that question, but there are some supports in place. Maybe is not as many as we would like, or as many days as we like, because some of that support is coming from outside the community. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there are some things in place. Some people will say they don't need it at all. Some people will say they're using it, and some people will say there's not enough. So again, different for everybody.
Could you elaborate on what the supports are?
Well, a lot of people have, you know, worked different jobs. Some have only been in there, so there's, you know, there's help in resume writing. There's help for people doing bridging and early retirement. There's help looking for new jobs. We've held a job fair. So there's social supports as well, because it's hard for some families to go through, especially young families. But yeah, all those type of things that you would expect when something like this happens.
Mm-hmm. In your discussions with the board and representatives of Canfor, are you personally feeling positive about the chance of the mill reopening or rebuilding?
Yeah, I'm feeling positive and optimistic. And in the background, we as council are, you know, we have to prepare for anything and any course forward. So I think probably on the frustration side, that's probably a little bit for us, because we just want to get to a point where we know what the future is. So yeah, we have a little bit more waiting to do here. It is a step. And, you know, regardless of what happens here, we need to move forward. So we're just in that holding pattern right now.
Yeah. Sort of conversationally, I had heard that maybe the town was basically holding funds in case the mill doesn't reopen as a way to potentially help residents with things like taxes. Is that true?
I guess it depends how you look on it. I wouldn't want to say we're withholding. The way I would explain it is what we went through in 2014 is we had a mill went down in a timber swap. So we closed what we call super mills, these big mills that do huge production. So we closed one of those in Houston that West Fraser owned. And on the Quesnel side, they closed the Canfor mill. And mm-hmm. then they traded some volume around. And by volume, I mean trees in the area. So fiber. At that time, when we went through that, there wasn't any help for our community from outside, or very little. So that's been frustrating for council and residents, because we can tell you that since 1980 to date, the community of Houston, just on stumpage alone, has paid over $1.2 billion. And that's before the income tax of all those employees, sales of equipment, tax on gas, safety equipment, et cetera, supply chain. So we're talking huge dollars here. And when that was taken away from us and I've said that all along, that it's not we didn't feel it was so much a problem here. It was more a problem in the interior on the Quesnel side, but we can argue about that with the ministry or whatever, but that's just our view on it. So being in that situation before, so having to deal with 300 people out of work, about $360,000 in taxation annually from that mill, and then losing all those good paying jobs, yeah, was a massive blow to our community. And we had businesses closing up and people moving out and people moving away for other jobs. And it wasn't just the jobs. We had capacity holes where it's not just a person moves away in a job. It's sometimes a hockey coach or maybe the spouse is a school teacher or an ambulance driver. So there's a whole lot of social issues that go with that. So we really had nothing in control. We had no money to manage the situation. So as a town council, we sat down and said, we didn't see this happening, but we knew that we needed to have something in place that if we ever were in that situation again, that we were a little more prepared. So maybe it sounds like you're withholding or however you want to word it. We have worked really hard to put away approximately two years of taxation on our biggest employer, which is the one that just went down. And that's where we are today. And that, at the least, that gives us a little control. So I can tell you, last time when our mill went down, we were scrambling, we were laying off people. So this time we have some certainty. We can tell people, we can go out to the public and say, you know what, your swimming pool, your library, your grader, your street sweeper, that's all going to be there. None of that's going to change overnight. And it gives us a little time to figure out our path forward. So yeah, I imagine different people see it differently. It may be seen as these guys are withholding or hoarding money. I don't feel that way at all. I think that we have to be ready to move through situations like this. And like I said, last time, there wasn't really much support from the province, which is frustrating when you talk about the dollars involved that go down south. But yeah, that's where we are today. And that's what happened. We're not the first community to do that. I don't know what we'd do without that right now.
You
have a totally different scenario, and there's a lot more at stake this time. So that was the decision that was made, and that's where we are.
Good. What's the next biggest employer in the Houston area? What's the next biggest employer to Canfor?
I don't know what it would be in Houston.
It's not the pipeline, is it?
No, the pipeline has quite a few people working, but a lot of them are from out of town. Mm-hmm. So it could be a number of things, but you have to remember with the mill, a lot of those other things that are in town are, there's a lot of infrastructure that goes with the mill. So a lot of those other employers, they would be your equipment dealerships and your truck shops, contractors. So we're not talking about just 300 jobs here. We're talking probably more closer in the 700 to 900 neighborhood if you count all the infrastructure and all that stuff that goes into the industry.
Was there anything that I didn't ask that you think is important for people to know?
I know there's lots of rumors and stuff running around, and I would tell people not to be scared to talk to your town council. I would also say, I think a lot of people are looking at this from the outside and thinking, you know, it's a Houston problem, and for sure it is a problem in our community. The impacts will reach further out. You know, there are jobs in surrounding communities. Yeah. There are businesses that get money from this community. And, you know, as Canfor works through how this develops and moves fiber around, that is going to impact other communities around us as well. So it's hurting here right now in this town, but it's a regional issue.
Absolutely. Mayor Bruden, I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with me today. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good day.
Thanks again for tuning in to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at skeenastrong.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks again to our producer, Pam Hassan, and all of our roving reporters. I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.